And sticking with an age-related theme, in a few minutes we'll be hearing from a man who has chronicled the working lives of young people on Wall Street since the economic collapse. Before that, our reporter Rona Tarrant has been catching up with the oldest trader on Wall Street. He is a second-generation Irish emigrant.
I started in 56, and there's Peter. Hi, Peter. Good.
In 1856.
Yeah, 1856. These guys are great kidders, aren't they?
Brendan Cryan has been trading on Wall Street for more than 58 years and knows just about everyone.
How many people work on the floor down here?
About 400 or 500 now. You know, down from about 3,000.
On his suit, he has three pins, one for the Notre Dame football team, another in the shape of Ireland, and the third is a gold badge with his name on it.
Well, because I'm the senior member on the floor, both in time and grade and in age, I get to wear a gold badge.
Do you get a lot of respect from that?
Not necessarily so.
In many ways, the New York Stock Exchange is exactly how you'd imagine, busy with a lot of people in suits and tons of security checks to get in. But when Brendan started, things looked a little different.
It was somewhat campy. It looked a little dated. Yeah. The posts were made of wood, and people wrote in pencils. And the floor was littered with scrap paper, you know, as they ripped things off. And people wore business suits. There was a different sense of propriety down here. It was more like a gentleman's club.
During his career, Brendan has traded through everything from 9/11 back to the crash of 87.
You know, it looked like it was the end of the world. It was literally cut in half in an afternoon.
And he was even on the floor when John F. Kennedy was shot.
That was chaotic and pandemonium, and Kennedy was dead. Johnson had to take over. When things are uncertain and unknown, that brings chaos into the marketplace.
But Brendan's path to the New York Stock Exchange began as far back as the early 1900s when his parents arrived through Ellis Island.
My father, when he got here, started running pails of beer, you know, from the bars and the pubs, you know, up and down the stairs in the tenements. He then got very much involved in insurance as a salesman. And he eventually wound up as an attorney. He became a judge. He became a member of the New York Stock Exchange. He hit a home run as a man.
And when you look around at the trading names, you'll see Powers and Clancy's.
There's an Irishman over there. His name is Kevin Murphy. And there's Kevin Cassidy.
What's so funny? And there's Coffees with a Shamrock logo and some Corcorans.
Hi, Catherine. Are you Irish, Catherine?
I'm born in America. My parents are Irish.
Well, right. See?
Yes.
Another Irishman.
Wall Street was a popular destination for many Irish immigrants.
This is where the activity was. This is where the money was. And you know, they weren't necessarily college trained at the time. They were just bright young people, and they got jobs down here as clerks, and they wound up running the place.
Dermot Clancy is second-generation Irish, and he's seen a lot of changes. But he thinks the only thing worse than too many computers is too many lawyers.
When you look at the amount of business that's been done here, and we did trillions upon trillions of dollars of business, and we never had a lawyer. Everything was your word is your bond. If there was any dispute, we settled it amongst ourselves. No lawyers. Because if you weren't a man of your word, you couldn't continue to conduct business.
No, they wouldn't trade with you.
But despite the algorithms and attorneys, Brendan has one secret to longevity.
Profitability. Back to the basics. Profitability. If you are profitable and if you can ring the cash register, you can make your way down here. Because in the final analysis, this is about money.
Oh, and one last question.
Have you seen The Wolf of Wall Street?
No.
And that was Rona Tarrant reporting there.